Welcome to the Gamers Inn. Come on in, pull up a chair next to the fire. It looks like you've had a long journey. I'm your host, Jocelyn, and joining me, as always, is my co-host, Ryan. Hello, Ryan.
Hello, hello. Man, is it some special number today, or is this just a stupid round number? What are we doing?
Is it maybe like 2016? Is that what you're thinking?
Oh,
like, Happy New Year?
Happy New Year. I was trying to think, like, when was the last time we did an episode? It was definitely at least a year ago.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it was totally last year.
It's a good thing we rolled that joke out of the... Everyone's like, oh, it's the six. No one's going to make that joke anymore. Too bad. Welcome to the Gamers Inn. Resurrecting jokes that should have died days ago.
Yeah, exactly. So thank you, everyone, for joining us tonight. As you may have noticed, if you are watching the video version here on Twitch, we are doing episode 200 today, which means we've been doing the Gamers Inn for, like, four freaking years. So
yeah. One whole Bethesda game ago. That's how long it's been.
Oh, man. When do we get our next Skyrim?
At episode 400, we should have The Elder Scrolls 6. It's about time. I don't know what they'll call it. I think there was a news article out there where they were saying that every time a new Elder Scrolls comes out, and this isn't a joke, folks, so strap in. This is, like, serious, like, journalism happening. This is video game journalism. And Kotaku leaked something, I guess, which is it was whenever Elder Scrolls comes out with a new entry, Bethesda code or trademarks the next Elder Scrolls. So Skyrim was trademarked when Oblivion came out. And I think the next one's like Redguard or Redguards or something. And I think
it
has something to do with the people to the south or something.
Okay, that kind of makes sense.
The Redguard sounds familiar, does it not?
Yeah, but I feel like it's a Morrowind thing, and I don't really want them to go back to places where they've been before, if that makes sense.
I don't think it's back, because I think it did have something to do with Morrowind, but from what I recall, I mean, a quick Google search on our fantastically loud keyboards would probably solve this, but I don't even know why I brought it up without even actually having it in front of me, but...
Chat room will tell us.
Yeah, it'll tell us. It's interesting that a company's just so forward with their games. It's just like, no, the next one's gonna be Redguard. It could just be a huge coincidence, and maybe this is the year that they don't call it something like that, but Skyrim, what a game, eh? We need the upgrade to that. We need the new Bethesda Skyrim game.
Not an MMO.
Please. Oh, gosh, don't. Oh, man, imagine if the MMO was like, okay, we'll put out this MMO, and that'll let us do something that isn't Fallout or Skyrim. I don't know why I keep calling it Skyrim. Elder Scrolls. You know, we can let them do it, and then we can do something completely new. Oh, God, please let us do something new. Turns out, no. You don't get to do something new. You got to fix Elder Scrolls Online.
So, speaking of that, we're going to be getting into kind of our look back at the last 100 episodes or so. We were going to look all the way back. Well, actually, I think we are looking all the way back to episode one. But, I went back at least to episode 100, and I was like, I'm not going any further than this. This is ridiculous. And I look in the notes, and I'm like, oh, Ryan went all the way back.
What did you do? Did you literally, like, just go through the notes one by one?
Well, no, I went through at least all of the titles because I put the name, the episode title thing. Yeah, so I pulled our cool titles from the last 100, and I'm like, I'm not going all the way back.
Yeah, and when she says cool titles, she just means, like, ones that there is a funny story behind. There's a lot of cool titles, but some of them are just like, yeah, Ryan played too much Mario or Animal Crossing. Yeah. There's probably some reference to bells and whatnot. So
yeah, but before we get into all of that, we're going to talk about what we have been playing in the last week or so. I have been playing the crap out of Tomb Raider. It is awesome. And it's also coming to PC January 20-something, 26th, 28th, something like that.
Yeah, around there.
26th, because it's a Tuesday. So in about 3 weeks, you guys will be able to play. You won't have to have an Xbox One anymore. So yeah, how many months did that take before it was not exclusive anymore?
3 months. I mean, they were pretty public in that Tomb Raider would be coming to PC in January at some point. But in order to get the maximum out of Tomb Raider on PC, to even get above the Xbox One, I mean, you got to have a really beefy computer. Mm-hmm. Something that would cost way more than an Xbox One.
So just go buy an Xbox One, basically, is what you're saying?
I mean, it's up to you. Like, I was having this conversation with somebody about, do I buy an Xbox One or do I buy a gaming PC? And it's like, well, is if when it comes to finances, like if you are strapped for cash, you should definitely go buy an Xbox One. But if you if you can save your money and buy all your components, then you should get a gaming PC because it can do a lot more, like spreadsheets.
Wow. Yeah. Spreadsheets? Really? That's what you went with?
That's my go-to.
You know, streaming, like we're doing right now? No.
Well, you can stream on a console, so.
I guess you can stream from a console now. That is true.
You can't do spreadsheets on an Xbox One. I'm sorry.
Really? There's no, like, app for that? Because they do apps on consoles now, which is something that's a little bit new to me.
I feel pretty confident that you can't do spreadsheets on a console, but they did just hack the PS4 and they put Linux on it. So I think that was why they did it, because they wanted to get spreadsheets running on the PS4 before it was running on the Xbox One. That's why they hacked it. Pretty sure it wasn't to pirate games. It was to work on spreadsheets.
Of course. Of course, as all gamers do.
Yeah, we're doing it right now. We're in a spreadsheet. Happy episode 200.
Yeah, I shouldn't say that.
Surprised this thing is still kicking. I was like, there's no way we have all 200 episodes of show notes in here. It's like, yeah, it does. Good on you, internet, for not crashing.
But yeah, so I'm probably about, I thought I was getting close to the end, but then it says I'm only like 51% complete. And I was like, what more story could there possibly be after this? So I am now at the part, and I'm not going to get too spoily or anything, but there's been like an attack, and I helped kind of repel the attack, and then I found a map to a place which feels like it should be like the end of the game, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So now I'm heading down a path that is going to take me to a place that feels like the end.
I don't think this is spoilery, but have you come across a new enemy faction, if you will?
Kind of. They chased me out of a place.
Are they like, so you remember that Harry Potter movie and there was that bird that, well, I should say Phoenix. I mean, really, does it?
Yeah, yes, I do remember Phoenixes. Perfect. Are a thing.
Yeah, so that's the reference I'm going to go with. And then you should probably just smile and nod, because I think that you have met that faction. I don't know why we're dancing around this. It's not a huge spoiler. I mean, the game certainly hints at a hidden faction in that game introduced in the last, I'd say probably half of the game, half. So, I don't know, like, have you come across, I don't know, I don't want to spoil anything.
Yeah, I don't want to spoil anything, I was surprised at my game percentages, like how much I had completed. And I'm going through now, because I kind of like, I was talking, who was I talking to? It was in chat, I think over the weekend, and I can't remember who exactly it was I was talking to, but it might have actually been Ventigo.
Okay.
But anyways, we're just talking about how, like, playing Tomb Raider in the first, like, two or three areas, I was very, like, completionist. Like, I literally have, like, 100% complete in the first few areas up until, I think, the Soviet installation.
Okay.
Which is one of the first areas where you actually need advanced equipment to get to some spots.
Yeah.
So I had, like, 100% complete up to that point, and then the story really starts to ramp up, and you get to the point where you fall into the trap that I always fall into, which is, like, I need to go and do the story because, like, oh, my God, really crazy things are happening, and people are chasing me with helicopters, and I have to get to this person. I have to warn this faction, and, you know, like, where the story really starts to ramp up is where I stop exploring. So I've just started exploring the kind of big valley area, which is actually really cool. And there's a lot of really neat stuff going on there. But when you first get to it, that's where one of the big battles happens. So yeah. I didn't go through it at that point. But now I kind of took today to take a couple of hours and just kind of explore and do different transversal things and a couple of challenge tombs and stuff. And I really like all that side.
Good.
Areas of the game, I guess. Like, I'm having a real, real good time with it. I've probably sunk about 20 hours into it already. Obviously, that's not all story. As I said, I haven't actually finished the story yet. But, man, it's fun.
Right?
It's really, really fun. I'm enjoying the crap out of that game.
Not to go all the way back, but when you said the trap you always fall in, I thought I was going to say, was it spikes? Because I fell into a lot of spike traps when I was playing Tomb Raider.
Did you? I actually, I fell into one of them, I think.
It's pretty gross, eh?
Yeah, it's graphic. I think the very first one that you come across, I fell into. Mm-hmm. But then I got the perk that's like makes them glow red, which I don't really think I like. Because I got like all the perks really quickly because I got sick of like pressing the button all the time to like highlight resources and stuff like that. So I got all the perks that were like highlights the things in the world. So, you know, like highlight your resources, highlight the chests, highlight the traps. And now my whole freaking game is glowing like a video game. It's really like not immersive now.
I was having like daydreams where my mind would go and then like, where's the remote? Oh, there it is. It's glowing in the corner. I was doing that so much when I was playing that game because I am a collection fiend. Yeah. And it isn't like Batman where if you're looking for stuff, you have to find it. There isn't like a beat this guy up and it shows up on the map. In the first one, when you beat the game, it would say, okay, here's the remaining things. And that's, you would go find them. But in this, you have to like really like pixel hunt for the stuff. And the game is just so satisfying. Like when you're running around and you're collecting things and you're climbing things and you're doing puzzles and tombs. And I really do, I'm curious, you say that you've kind of fallen into the Jocelyn trap of being like, I gotta finish this story. The side tombs really do provide these upgrades that are very key to your survival as as Lara and also as saving these people.
Yeah, so I'm learning that.
Yeah.
Because there was like, I skipped a whole area of challenge tombs, and then when I had to do the battle, I was just dying all the time. It's like, you have to go through these areas that have like, probably in and around 15 enemies in each kind of like camp, and you have to like go through and like either stealth kill or fight your way through. And like, if I even alerted one guard, I was just effed. Like, I was so screwed. It was just like, well, I'm dead now. And it took me probably like, I don't know, 7 or 8 tries, maybe more, to beat that section. And I had to stealth my way through the whole entire thing, and it was just like, I had to make sure that I killed everybody outside before I even attempted to get to the like the actual cabin that was the objective, because there were 3 guys in there and 2 of them had body armor, and I was just like, I'm just dead all the time.
Yeah, there was it starts to get a little tough near once they start introducing new variations to the guys. Like, hey, they put on armor because they stop being stupid. You know, they're not they're not just facing off against weird people who raise chickens in a thermonuclear. Spoiler alert: right? the entire valley is built on top of an atom bomb. Or wherever nuclear waste. The Russians brought nuclear waste. That's where they dumped it. That's why it's so warm there.
I see.
And why everybody has 3 ears. I forget what I was making a point about. Just that now
you were making a point about how they're not stupid and it starts to get harder and harder and harder.
Yeah, and you really gotta,
as a video game generally does, but
sure, it I should, found right?
like it basically went like, you know, a couple of new enemies, your kind of difficulty levels going like this, and then all of a sudden it was like, shabam! And it's because I skipped all the tombs.
Yeah.
So it wasn't that I was lagging in XP necessarily, because I took all the perks first that gave me more XP for doing things. So XP for getting relics and murals, XP for killing dudes with crafted items, like all that kind of stuff. Anything that granted me bonus XP, I did. So yeah. I am pretty much where I think I should be level-wise, but I don't have, like, gear and extra kind of info. So the one that I just found lets me gather a new kind of resource, which then opens up this whole other tech tree, and I was like, oh, probably should have done that about 5 levels ago.
And when they start introducing these extra characters, it becomes even more important to use the crafting system, like the on-the-fly crafting system, and that you can make your smoke bombs and you can make grenades and just Molotov cocktails. And that stuff comes in really handy because it really disrupts the enemies, so they're not just coming after you, they're dealing with, oh crap, I'm on fire, or I can't see anything. And that becomes really key, so you can get in behind people or line up that bow shot. I use the bow a lot. I like headshotting people with the bow. You're the bow again.
Oh man! And actually, I didn't realize that that was a stealth kill. That if you hit somebody in the head with your arrow, then nobody else hears it. It's not like any of your guns. So unless they actually stumble upon the body, mm-hmm. then. So once I kind of figured that out, I was like, oh, I can kind of take out all the guys around the edges where nobody else is patrolling. And then that's going to help me a lot. Mm-hmm. So once I realized that, then it made stuff a lot easier. But yeah, man, the bow. And I started hunting deer again, and I'm actually really good at it now.
Good.
There's an indicator on the deer for when you hit them in the heart, so you can one-shot the deer.
I got that. That's how I started to actually hunt more. And mm-hmm. in the first game, when you could kill animals, but it didn't actually make sense. It gave you salvage, which was signified by like gears and stuff, which is like, man, that deer better check its diet, because I don't think he's eaten.
How am I getting nuts and bolts out of a deer?
Yeah, exactly. Like, so when it came to this game, I was like, it seems like there's a lot more to hunting and that I can hunt a bunch of different animals. Mm-hmm. And it's actually in there for a good reason, because you're getting like cougar pelts and deer pelts and antlers and bones and whatnot.
And then you can make all kinds of stuff. You can upgrade your bows. You can make yourself new clothing, and all your clothing has different, you know, kind of bonuses depending on what it is that you use to make it. So yeah, it's a really advanced crafting system, and I'm having so much fun in Tomb Raider right now.
and it's a big game. It's a long and big game. So I wouldn't be surprised if you're still on the last third of the game. And when you're coming to the very end of the game, you'll know it, because you not only do you hit the apex of the map, but you're told straight up, like, dude, this is the last campfire before the final boss. It doesn't lock you to the game once you beat it. It just means you're not going to be able to go back once you progress further. And that's sort of you can pull a Jocelyn, you can go forward, and you can beat the boss, and you can still feel good about coming back, because it's like, you're able to do that. Mm-hmm. Or you can go back like I did and try to do as much as possible before fighting the boss. So
is that what you would recommend, is going back and trying? Because I know there's a bunch of weapons that I've got like 3 out of 4 parts for, so I'm sure that, you know, I missed a strong box somewhere. So is that something I should go back and try to do and get all the different weapon pieces and stuff?
I don't know. Like, if you're happy with the gear you're using, I'd say venture forth. But if you're the type of person...
I have the compound bow, and I think I have some other kind of shotgun other than the normal shotgun that just drops.
Right. Probably the combat shotgun or something.
Maybe something like that, yeah.
I think if you're
And
if
that's
you're
pretty much what I use. Like, I... Yeah. Sneak up as close as I can get to people, and then I just blast them with the shotgun, and then I just run around and let like one or two of them get close, and then I just turn around and blast them with the shotgun, and then I keep running.
Nice.
That's been my how to deal with crowd situations.
Hey, I mean, that's what I do. That's what I do in Fallout, right? It's the best. It's really the best way to take care of enemies in general. Just sneak up as close as possible, shoot them with your shotgun.
Exactly. I'm not that awesome at like really precision aiming
right
in like long distances.
Well, so
I know basically if I get it in the middle third of the screen, I'm gonna kill it. Why wouldn't I use that weapon?
It's a big reticle.
It's like literally this big on the screen.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I miss and Matt just laughs.
Well, I mean, sometimes it just doesn't work out, right?
Yeah,
sometimes you don't have enough intellect put into your character, and you're just like, I got this. Oh crap. Like, what's that guy?
I had to change the controller settings because they were way too sensitive for me. So I was like just barely touching it, and it was like shabam. And I was like, nope, actually, I just wanted to move a little bit.
I was going to write this down. Don't go hunting with Jocelyn. I got this. This one's mine. Oh crap. It's like Dick Cheney over here. Remember? Yep. That was before episode 1. Probably not before Star Wars episode 1, though. That was probably right around that time. Both terrible. But,
oh, man. But, yeah, so I'm having a lot of fun in Tomb Raider. So if you guys haven't picked it up for Xbox One, you should. And if you are waiting for it on PC, that's January 26th. So, Ryan, what have you been playing?
Okay. So, what do you want to hear about? Obviously, we got to talk. Okay, let's talk about Black Ops 3.
I think we need to talk about Black Ops.
Bit of the blops. Been playing a little bit of the blops.
We turned on the Xbox last night. We were going to watch some Office, which the American version of The Office is now on Netflix. And nice. We've just been like binge watching it like crazy. So I think we're already after like 2 days, we're almost on season 3. But anyways.
Nice.
So we've totally been binge watching The Office. And so we opened up Netflix and I'm just like, oh man, there's like 2 people online. I wonder who's online. Ryan is online and he's playing Call of Duty? What the hell?
I know. It's the second, it's terrible. No.
He gets Call of Duty and he doesn't even tell me. I have Call of Duty on the Xbox.
Well, okay, let me explain myself. So I have it on Xbox One and Connor, who lives downstairs, is a big Xbox gamer and he's a big Call of Duty gamer. So I've been doing a lot of multiplayer, just passing the controller back and forth on the Xbox because I've got Halo and that's how I had Halo. That's all I had. And it was kind of like, this is a lot of fun. Like, reminds me back when I was living at home with my brothers and we just passed the controller back and forth, because the one thing I hate about multiplayer games is being frustrated when I die. So when I die and I pass the controller, it's like, okay, now I have like 2 minutes to have a breather and not hate the game for a little bit. And it's more than needed in Call of Duty, because I'm not good at that game. I'm not good at keeping my cool either when it comes to Call of Duty. But it was on sale and I was like, you know what, nobody else owns this game unless they pick it up on PC, so I'll pick it up on Xbox, we'll play it. So I've had it, like, I have had it and had not touched it since like Black Friday, I think. And then over the holidays, I was like, you know, I'm going to give this another shot. So I went on and was playing multiplayer, and I was actually doing pretty good. Like,
balancing. I know, because that's what was even crazier, is it said, like, you were in, like, a multiplayer lobby. And I was like, whoa, wait, what? Ryan is not only playing Call of Duty, but he's not playing the campaign. He's actually playing in multiplayer. Like, what the actual F?
Yeah.
Like, why do I not have a game invite right now?
Well, I knew you had it, but I knew that you had just gotten it, so I wasn't sure whether you'd actually.
I literally haven't played it yet. Matt and Adam have played it more than I have.
Of course, they have. I know Matt's a big Call of Duty fan, so it's good to know that everybody. It's good to know that you've also got people to pass controller, because I really like playing that way. It's not as social as playing online with other people, because you can't have a headset when you're in the same room as somebody, but. That's terrible. Why would I say that? It's more social because you're in person.
Yeah,
I don't know what
I was just gonna let you go with it, but whatever.
It's the internet, right? It's ruined me forever. Anyways, I've just been enjoying it, and the campaign. I've been playing a little bit of the campaign. It's a convoluted mess. You know.
Yeah, and that's kind of what I think. The first Black Ops was half decent, and then the Black Ops. Kind of campaign series went downhill a little bit.
I actually liked Advanced Warfare's campaign. Like, I think
Advanced Warfare was good, but yeah.
It felt more straightforward. It's like, yeah, it's Kevin Spacey building an army, a private army, and then he's gonna take on the United States of America because he's Kevin Spacey.
Because he's Kevin Spacey doing Kevin Spacey things. Who's like, yeah, he's like super evil now in like everything. Always. Yeah,
I don't know why. Now I can't even think of him as like a good character. Mm-mm. I mean, he's played a lot of bad guys. Let's face it. who's Kaiser Sose? I don't know. But in Black Ops 3, the campaign is just an even bigger mess because it's like the whole package that is Call of Duty Black Ops 3 is a convoluted mess. But if you're able to like pick off the crap you don't care about and just ignore it and put it off to the side, it's actually a really cool game. And I think it's gotten a lot of flack for just being this everything that is all the Call of Duties crammed into a box and given to you for $80. Mm. It's like, it's so multiplayer is like there's 8 classes and each class has 2 powers and then there's like 50 billion guns you can get and unlock. But if you don't want to unlock them, you can play in a mode where you can just get them. And that's just multiplayer. And then there's zombie mode with ball gumballs and matchmaking and zombie mode.
Gumballs?
Yeah, exactly. Zombie mode that I loved was just you and a friend in a house, zombies coming, they're going to eat your face off. In this, it's like there's zombies going to eat your face off. Then there's like weird tentacle monsters that you can turn into. And then
you can turn into monsters?
You can turn into a tentacle monster. And You can.
Sounds very Japanese.
It's very Japanese. So that's like zombie mode, and I'm really simplifying. And then when you get into single player, it's like you have powers. You can like shoot little robots at people, and they turn on fire. Or you can hack robots, and you can have. And when you finish a mission, it's like, okay, I'm starting to get the hang of it. It's like, no, now there's like a prep room, and you can choose your guns and your loadout, and it's just so much. And I'm kind of like sitting there like, I don't want to play this anymore. So I started playing multiplayer, and it's when you play the mode that's just like progression, you start to actually get the hang of it, and your matchmaking's been really good to place me with really good players. So that's why I've been winning, because I'll go in and I've got like a 1.0 kill rate, and I'm playing with people with like 24 kills, 3 deaths, and I'm like, yeah, this matchmaking's rad. But I'm kind of actually digging the sort of like get a couple of hits in the chest or one in the head to put your enemies down, right? Because in Halo, you've got to really focus fire. Or the other guy, if the other guy is just a little bit better at focus firing you, he's going to take you down much faster. But in Call of Duty, I can literally just spray and pray, and I usually get a kill. And they're super frustrated about it. But I don't know. Like, have you found that about Call of Duty, and that if just being the enemies just being oversensitive to like only taking a couple bullets to go down, it's kind of refreshing after playing a lot of Halo, I think.
I actually haven't had a chance to sit down and play it yet, but it seems like not so much when Matt is killing an opponent, but more so when they're killing him, because he's just a good player in general, so he has pretty good aim, so I expect them to go down after a hit or two, but like sometimes like you don't even see the other player, and all of a sudden it's just like, oh god, I took a bullet to the leg. Well, I'm dead.
Yeah, and that still happens. Probably the best moment from last night was we switched to I was playing as the archer shadow chick, and when you get enough kills, you charge up your, so even if you're not getting enough kills to get your kill streaks, you're saving up energy to unlock your character power. So my character power is like, you get 8 explosive arrows that you can shoot, which is rad. But we switched to a different character, and I saw it unlocked, and it's basically the character that does like a ground pound. So I killed somebody killed one of my guys, and then I'm like, oh, I unlocked my bow. I'm going to activate my bow. So I hit the bumpers, and it was actually just the ground pound, and I like killed a bunch of people around me, like enemy players, and I was like, man, that worked out really well. It's just fun, and it's so quick. It's very fast. Like, when you die, you don't really have a lot of time to be frustrated. You have time to switch your loadout, and that's about it. Mm-hmm. And you're back in it, and the movement's so quick. Like, Halo, I'm not going to be able to go back to it.
Everything is so fast. I found, like, the running, and then you can, like, jump off of things, and there's jetpacks, and I'm just like, there's no way I could play this. Everything is moving way too quickly.
Yeah, and there's a lot of... And I think because it moves so quickly, when I was playing multiplayer, I found that a lot of my team and their team would just sit there and wait for people like me, who really like to run around and gun, to just run around the map and be like, "Wee!" Oh, he's dead. You know? Whereas occasionally I would get a lucky shot, and everything's just so quick, it feels like it's on fast forward mode. Like, when you throw a grenade, your guy's like, and then it's out. Like, it's not like Halo where it's like, and he throws it and there's an arc, and it's like you check your watch, and then eventually it lands and explodes, you know. Like, that's the difference that it feels. So I can kind of get why people still like Call of Duty. I still don't understand the appeal of playing a new Call of Duty every year, like, especially multiplayer.
Basically what Call of Duty is doing is exactly the same as what, you know, like Heroes, for example, is doing, in that they're adding, you know, new characters, new maps, whatever. Heroes does it with free patches. Call of Duty scooshes it all together into a new package every December.
Yeah, but, oh, well, I guess that is a good point, especially if they're going to put a sale on, yeah. I don't know. I appreciate people who really do enjoy Call of Duty, and I think, like, Connor, he's one of those hardcore Call of Duty fans that are like, yeah, I love playing it every year, and I enjoy it, and I get really into it. And for me, it's like, this is fun, but I don't need to experience, I probably won't need to experience this again for a couple more years. Mm-hmm. You know, like, I'm good with Black Ops 3.
I want to go in and like party up with you and like go play multiplayer.
We're gonna do that. Yeah, we should, because I've actually been enjoying it, and it is a lot more fun playing, especially Call of Duty. Like, if I was to play, I was playing the Call of Duty campaign by myself, and I was getting really frustrated with how often I would die and how complex. Like, they've added like a UI system where if you don't turn it on, you don't get any of like the tactical stuff, like where people are and where grenades are. So if you turn it on, suddenly it shows you where everything is. Like, if one of your teammates sees a bad guy, it's now an icon on the screen. If they throw a grenade, it's now an icon and an impact radius on the screen. Like, they went super future on this thing, which I think is probably part of the story, and that it's like, whoa, technology, you know?
Whoa. Advanced warfare.
Black Ops. It'll haunt you.
You turned into a ghost real quickly there.
Yeah, that was like what?
You went from woo impressed to woo scary.
Yeah, Call of Duty Ghost was terrible. No one wants to go back to that. I don't know. I'm enjoying it. I don't often get into Call of Duty games. I think the last one I really got into would have been Modern Warfare 2, which was kind of like everybody's
big one.
But I don't know. I mean, it's probably not the best Call of Duty, but I'm enjoying what I played, and we should certainly get some multiplayer matches in, because I think that'll be a lot of fun.
Definitely. And I think we should probably talk about the message that I sent you last night.
Yeah, okay, yeah. So I was just going offline, about to go to bed, and then I see a message. Oh, Joss has messaged you. And it's like, pew, pew, pew. And I'm like, yeah.
That was actually Matt that wrote pew, pew, pew.
Oh, and I'm like, yeah, we should play. Because I don't know. I just sort of respond to every message I get, which is an invitation for people to send me weird messages. Unless you're Jocelyn, of course. It's fine. So I just responded like, yeah, I got Call of Duty. I'm playing multiplayer. We should play sometime. But which was me saying, I'm going to bed. It's almost midnight.
So. Yeah, which, and I totally didn't pick up on that.
Well, for me, I'm sort of living in this, you know, the baby could come any moment. Someone said to me as I was leaving work, like, I think they were messing with me, but they're like, I've got this witchy feeling that you're going to need to get some sleep tonight. And I'm like, okay, well.
Yeah, they're totally messing with you. She's not even due for like more than 2 weeks.
I know. And I said, playing along, I'm like, well, I don't know if I need more sleep, but I should certainly get more followed in. Like, if Ashley's going into labor, I need to get more followed in.
That's true.
And they're like, well, what if the baby comes at 6? And I'm like, you know, 6 a.m.? That's at least 12 hours. So I could probably get a little bit farther and follow with that. It's like, no, 6 p.m. It's like, I'm not even gonna have time for dinner. This kid, man.
Already. Okay. So we got a Kinect a couple of days ago because there was a huge, big sale at Toys R Us or something. Nice. So we got the Kinect, and it has like the voice stuff on it, but I don't know, like, I was like, oh, you can send voice messages? And I was like, oh my god, this is amazing. And then so Matt, like, pressed the record button, and I was like, oh no. I'm like someone who sits in front of a microphone, like, all of the time. Apparently just, like, the Kinect recording me was, like, too much for my brain at midnight. And I was just, like, totally blanked on what to say. And then I was like, yeah, we should games sometime, yes?
I could hardly make it out. I was like,
I know.
I had to go to my Xbox to listen to it, first of all. I'm like, all right, this is like a gamble. I can listen to it now by turning my Xbox back on, or I can do it in the morning. It's probably not something that is like super urgent, but still, it's a voice message. Not many people send you voice messages, so this is going to be gold no matter what. And I'm like, we should game. Is it off? Did it stop? I'm like, oh dear. Does she want to play now? Like, that's what my question was.
Yeah, that was pretty much the message. I wish you had it. Like, I wish I had it or something. Like, I wish we could play it for people.
If I could play it off my phone, I would. But
it was pretty ridiculous.
Yeah, it was. The voice messages in anything are usually like are pretty awesome. Like, even Skype. Like, sometimes if you call someone on Skype and you don't. I will capture it. The chat room is saying, why are you no capture? It's like, well, maybe we will capture it. It's not like it's gone. Yeah, I
feel like now we need to play it for the world. Plus, I think our Kinect isn't set up properly, like, because it tells you to turn the speakers, like, all the way up when you're doing the, like, thing in the living room. The, not collaboration. Calibration.
Calibration, yeah.
And so it tells you to turn everything up louder than normal, and then it tries to pick up like what background noise is, what speaker noise is, and everything else. Mm-hmm. But then I found with the message I recorded for you, it was like peaking all the time. Yeah. And I was literally sitting on the couch like a good 8 feet away from the Kinect. So I was just like, yeah, this is clearly being like way too sensitive. We need to like fix that somehow. So, but yeah, I mean, it's pretty cool though. I mean, it's still, it responds to Matt and not me, but oh. Basically it's just like, I'll go Xbox, turn off, and it doesn't do anything. And then he's like, Xbox, turn off. And it's like, boop, boop, boop. I'm like, oh. Damn it.
It's like, it's just upset. It's like, don't yell at me.
Yeah, really. I just need to be more firm, I guess.
Yeah, you really just got to tell it who's the boss.
Yeah. So is there anything you said that you got into Fallout? So
back in. Fallout is back.
All right. So worth, because I actually was gifted a copy on Steam. Oh. So I have Fallout now that I have to play as well.
You have to now. Yes. That's the rules. When someone totally gifts you a copy, it's like, if you don't play this, your Steam library explodes.
Exactly.
Fallout 4 is really good if you are cool with big open world games that are set in a wasteland. Mm.
So very like Borderlands-ish?
No, it's better than Borderlands. I'm not a huge fan of Borderlands.
I'm not a huge fan of Borderlands either. That's why when you were like, oh, it's like a wasteland shooter, I'm like, oh.
The Borderlands is too, the humor is too like, look at this poop that's on a stick and it's in your face. Like, it's funny because it's poop. It's like, no, it's not. It's
not all gross. Poop is funny.
Yeah, it's not. They're trying to be, I don't know, they're not trying to be crude, but they're trying, it's like they're trying too hard.
In Borderlands?
Yeah. Yeah. But in Fallout, it's very nuanced. Like, the humor doesn't feel like humor. It just feels like that's the world you live in. And it's funny because it's like 50s sci-fi, you know? It's like they've been stuck in the 50s for 600 years. And that's literally, like, the lore behind the game is that for some reason, nuclear bombs evidently, like, put a time lock on your world. Like, you're not going further than the 50s. So the humor's there. Which
kind of makes sense because that was, like, the Cold War, so.
Yeah, and it's just, from what I've said before of Fallout, like, the opening's not as strong as I would hope, but when you start to just let, you know, you just start to enjoy the game, find parts that you do enjoy, and when you start to recognize that it's giving you repeatable quests, stop doing those quests. That was the problem I had. I was like, all right, I cleared that settlement. What do you need me to do now, Preston? And he's like, well, geez, you could probably go help this other settlement. It's like, got it, right on it. And then I'd go do it. And then, like, 2 hours later, I'd be like, wait a minute.
All I've done is clear settlements.
Let me see that list. And it's just a long list of clearing, like, settlements. Like, man, you have to get out of here and go do that yourself. I got to go build something. So once you start ignoring the quests that are obviously repeatable faction quests and start doing story stuff and sort of stumbling upon story moments that aren't related to the main quest but are related to the world, mm-hmm. you start to enjoy it a little more and get into sort of the lore behind Fallout.
Oh, cool.
Like one of the quests I did that I sort of bumped into was it's like, oh, I need you to go work for this person. I'm like, okay, I'll go. And for some reason, you're always looking for work instead of your long-lost son because you're a terrible mother or father, depending on which one you choose. But what I thought was going to just be like this standard, go do this, go do that, and I'll pay you caps, actually turned into a deeper story about these people that evidently live forever, are immortal because of some artifact they found. And you go down this rabbit hole of not just like, oh, we have an artifact, but no, like, the artifact is actually on a loved one who we've locked up and we're like, you know, we're doing things to make mm-hmm. us live longer. And it's really cool. It's that little piece of story that is not related to the rest of the game, but is still related to the world. And you just kind of have to strip away the fat on that game to really enjoy it. Like, settlements, you don't enjoy it, ignore it. You don't have to worry about it. Crafting, you don't like it, ignore it. You really don't need to worry about it, but if you do, you will have fun, if that's your jam. But if it's not, you really don't have to worry about it. So, I don't know, I've sort of approached it as like a much more, I'm gonna do what I want to do. Like in Skyrim, when you start playing Skyrim, it's like, man, this is too much for me. It's all up in my face. But then once you're like, no, I'm not gonna worry about that stupid stuff. I'm going to go do this other stuff.
So. That kind of makes sense. Because, I mean, I loved Skyrim, and I got so involved and in-depth in that game. So I can see myself liking Fallout. Yeah. I just need to dive in and give it a shot.
The world is more... I find the world is more interesting than Elder Scrolls because it's less it's less convoluted. Elder Scrolls is high fantasy, so there's like elves and dwarves and other elves and I get
and
that
other dwarves
and other dwarves
more elves
and then guess kinds. What? There's like a dwarven
a
elf
caste system.
You know, like the caste system and like if you talk to this guy with your lizard face, he'll kill you. But if you talk to that guy with your lizard face, he'll like praise you. Like it's convoluted in a great way. But in Fallout, it's like no. You are human. There are super mutants. They act funny. There's a radio you can turn on, and you just go through the wasteland, and you survive. Mm-hmm. And there are just awesome characters that you meet and people who have great dialogue. And it's just a little more simple. And I really like wasteland sort of post-apocalypse scenarios.
See, I like that in my movies, but I have yet to really find a post-apocalyptic wasteland-y kind of a game that I love. So maybe Fallout is it. So I'm gonna give it a shot. But we should move this along because we are running out of time. And
we haven't even reminisced.
Yeah, we haven't even gone back.
It's so Fallout and Tomb Raider. Like, yeah. It's so good.
Two really great titles. Good discussion tonight. So I just wanted to remind everybody that if you want to show off your TGI pride, if you love A-Move, the place to go is bit.ly/A-Move store. We have all kinds of really cool glassware there. You can get pint glasses. You can get mugs. You can get cool decals. Decals.
I always call them decals.
I can't remember. Yeah, now I can't even remember which the proper way to say it is. But
what's the one that doesn't get us made fun of? Can we remember that? Oh, crap. All right, I'll say decals. Is decals, decals? I think it's decals the one we don't get made fun of for.
I think so, because I say decals, and then they're like, what's a deck?
I don't really understand why what people are talking about. I don't get it.
Anyways, all of those for all your favorite A-Move shows. So you can get A-Move stuff. You can get show-specific stuff. So there's ITN, Angry Chicken. There's Gamers In. All of that at bit.ly/A-Move store. So check it out. So that brings us to our topic of the week this week, which is the fact that we hit episode 200, which is just total crazy balls. We actually got a tweet from Jim Bean back at episode 100 saying, congrats on 100, here's to 100 more, ding, achievement unlocked. We've had our 100 more. Like, I remember reading that going, oh yeah, 100 more, like, whatever, we'll be done by then. And now I'm just like, well,
yeah,
here we are.
I think we're at the point when it comes to numbers. I was thinking about this the other day. It's like, do we celebrate 200? 200 is like a clear, I think at this point it becomes like, okay, every 100. That's a pretty big moment.
Yeah.
But no one, I don't know, like, I don't want to say this and sound terrible, but no one really, like, thinks 2 years in advance when it comes to a hobby. I don't know. It's weird. Like, it's hard to think about. Like, but now I think podcasting is sort of cemented itself in something I want to do a lot for as long as I can, right? Mm-hmm. Whereas I think 100 episodes ago at episode 100, like, that was a good milestone, but you're still sort of fresh. Like, 2 years isn't a long time to do something, but four is a pretty solid
4 years
number.
Is a really long time.
Yeah.
We've been friends for 4 years, dude.
That's pretty awesome. And now we have
each other weekly for 4 years.
Yeah, and sometimes in person, right?
I know.
It's a good test. If you ever want to see if, like, maybe it's just the internet and, like, Skype lag that's keeping this relationship going. No. It's genuine friendship.
Yep.
It is not Canadian internet. Perfect.
Man.
It's been, 4 years. So I was like, well, what are we going to talk about? Like, no one sent anything in because, you know, everyone else is like us. It's like 200. That's great. Let's do 100 more. That's awesome. Yep. But
it does feel less milestone-y than 100 did. Although I think 100, it rolled you into that, like, third digit. Yeah. I think maybe that was part of it too. And yeah, but... I mean, 200 still is amazing. I feel like our next big celebration is like episode 1,000.
Now what? That's 800 episodes. My math is hurting.
I was like, what are you trying to figure out right now?
That's like 16 years from now, unless we start doing like the Angry Chicken thing and we start rolling like our hangouts and our game nights.
And the number count. I know. I was like, how did Angry Chicken catch up to Gamers Inn so quickly? Oh, wait, because we were doing 3 episodes a week in the feed for a while.
Well, yeah, exactly. And then you stop cheating. So that's good. Yeah. Yeah, that's a thousand. Like, that's a long ways away. But games will still be here, and microphones will still exist, and I'll still want to talk about crazy Nintendo games that no one else likes. So, makes sense, right? To keep a podcast going.
Yeah, and I mean, like, I'm looking back, so we just kind of grabbed the notes from episode one. We used to have something like that we called Strat Chat, so that was like our section of the show where we would talk about like specific strategy for whatever game we were playing. So if there was like a tough spot or like a thing that we really wanted to figure out how to do, then we'd kind of talk about that. And it was a good idea, but I don't know, Ryan, do you miss Strat Chat at all? We kind of rolled it into our general game discussion. We took the show in a very generalized way. When we started, we were like, okay, we're gonna talk for 5 minutes about this, and then we're talking about 10 minutes about this, and we're gonna have like bumpers in between everything, and we're gonna be like do. Yeah, now we're just kind of like, let's talk about games with no prep whatsoever.
Well, that's the beauty. That's what I like about a lot of my podcasts is just a general discussion. Mm-hmm. You know, one of my favorite podcasts is Giant Bomb or the Giant Bombcast, and they literally have like emails, and they have like segments. I'm talking. So, you know, they have segments like that, but it's very general. So I think when we started the show, it was kind of like, let's throw something at the wall and see if it sticks. And by episode shortly before, like, I think this year was the year we dropped Quickfire News, or maybe it was a year prior. But that was just an illustration of like, okay, you know, our lives are busy, and really most changes for the Gamers Inn either came from laziness or a strive to be better. Right. So laziness, like, and I don't want to do the Quickfire News anymore. Let's just talk about our favorite news. If we don't have a topic, perfect. Throw it away.
Yeah. Well, I think the idea behind Quickfire News, and I think it was a good idea, but it just got to the point where a lot of the news, since we weren't a daily show, a lot of the stuff that we were reporting on was like old news, and you know, it got to the point where we were really kind of reaching, because we always tried to do like 3 to 5 stories each. Yeah. And then we had like a little write up, and it was like, this is the news story in, you know, 30 seconds or less. And then, you know, I would do one, then Ryan would do one, back and forth.
Yeah.
And it was a good idea, but I think it was just,
It was work that was unnecessary, right? Because a lot of people who listen to podcasts and our general, like, people who listen to this show are gamers, right? Mm-hmm. And they are already reading about this stuff. Now, today, if this was episode 201, I would have texted Jocelyn today about noon, you know, and say, hey, do you want to talk about the Rift and the fact that it's going to be $600 when it launches? Like, that's a news story that people are still going to be talking about throughout the week because it's big news. And I'd be like, yeah, let's talk about that. And then when we sit down to do the notes at like 15 minutes before the show, as we're prepping, we'd literally just toss in the games we're playing. And I think that works because it's like, well, Fallout 4, I remember really enjoying my time with it over the last week, so I'm going to know what to talk about. Like Tomb Raider, we talked about it for a half hour. Like, it's just literally, it just says Tomb Raider. It's not even the whole name of the game, right? But it's enough to be like, okay, we're going to talk about Tomb Raider, we're going to talk about Fallout. Really, that's all you need.
We used to have so much detail in our notes, like so much detail. We would put like little either point forms of like every little thing that we did in every game that we played, or like we wrote out these, like, I'm looking at this, it says like, okay, so under Skyrim for Joss, it says, I'm vowing to complete all the achievements in this one since there's no DLC achievements or Xbox Live achievements, which I hate. Current progress as of December 9th. I have 22 out of 50. Sigh. Literally, I wrote sigh in our show notes. Yeah,
that's how much time we had 4 years ago.
Yeah.
You know, now we're just so busy. But it's like, it's not to say we don't prep for the show, but we still prep, but we prep by playing the games, right? We prep by remembering what we did. And I mean, I don't know. For me, it's like all I really need to do is focus on playing a game. And the reason I had put these in here, because it's like to show the progress, like Skyward Sword, I guess I was playing. I was almost done that game. Like, that was another one of those games that I was just, it's a new Zelda game.
Yeah. And so you played the crap out of it, and I was like, yeah.
Yeah. And that's funny, because eventually, it's funny to think, is that eventually, with this show, we will get to a point where we are bookended by Zelda games.
Yeah.
That's crazy to think about. I mean, if we want to count Twilight Princess HD, we will be bookended in March. So, but no, we won't count that. Yeah.
Oh my God, I have a Zelda story. So yesterday, we were talking about returning my keyboard to Best Buy, and I was like, well, I don't have the receipt, so we're probably going to just get store credit. So we should see if there's like anything we need for the studio or any games that we want or whatever. So we were looking at Wii U stuff because now we have a Wii U, and I was just like, Zelda popped up, and I didn't realize that it was like the remake of Twilight Princess. It actually has a release date. It's in, you know, March or whatever, but there was pre-orders. But I thought it was for the new Zelda. So I was just like, effing Nintendo wants me to pre-order a game that they don't even have a release date for, and blah, 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 blah. Nintendo's stupid. And then Matt's like, no, that's the remake. And I was like, oh, okay, that's okay. And then we scrolled down a little further, and sure enough, you can pre-order the Zelda. They don't even have art for it. It literally just says Zelda.
Yeah. And I know this is like a gamers in classic Nintendo hate moment, but let's stop ourselves
it's
for a
just
moment.
In general, it's just a pre-order. Yes. Like, oh my God, you are asking for my money now, and you haven't even told me when this effing game is coming out.
It's a retailer thing. I remember when I was young and I still supported EB Games and went in there, they'd have this catalog of games coming out, and there'd be literally games on there that you could pre-order that weren't even announced yet. Like, there was like Zelda 2, and like Zelda 2 as in like Zelda 2 64 and Mario 64 2, and just crazy shit that might have been leaked at one point, but was just, they threw it in the book. So it's like, if we can get $5 and make interest on it for like the 6 years until they realize they want to cancel their pre-order. I mean, it's a retailer thing, but I agree with you. And you should be more upset at the fact that Twilight Princess HD is gonna cost $100 here in Canada. You should be more upset.
Yeah, that is pretty upsetting.
And I'm pretty sure you'll be able to get it for less, but less. It'll be like $70, and you'll have to get it on the eShop probably, because I think the physical copy comes with an amiibo. I'm going to let
you
guess
which
one I
bought. But then I won't get an amiibo, which now I have a reason to collect them. So you've created a monster by talking about amiibos for the last, like, forever. So I now have to have them all.
It's funny. Like, that's a just this last year moment. Like, amiibo is kind of a weird thing. Like, Blizzard Games is another one that I really didn't know that this show was going to really take off with Blizzard content. Like, that was something that didn't really... And I love Blizzard games, so I love talking about them, but you wouldn't get that from the first 50 episodes of the show. But that just shows how Gamers In has evolved, right? Because it's really just a reflection of the games we play.
I remember, I think, I can't remember if it was StarCraft or Diablo 3, but there was something in the first, like, few episodes of the show that we were talking about, and there was, like, an announcement or something, and I kept getting Blizzard and Bethesda mixed up.
Right.
And, like, it's because I didn't play Warcraft, I didn't play StarCraft, like, I wasn't in that universe at all. Now I go to BlizzCon every year, like, I can't imagine not knowing, like, it just, I am so entrenched in gaming culture now, and, you know, with Twitter, and just all the stuff that I read, all the stuff that I do, all the shows that I do, I'm just like, oh my God, who was that Jocelyn 4 years ago that couldn't keep Blizzard and Bethesda straight? Like, it's like, I knew Bethesda, but Blizzard was just like not even on my radar. Like, man, yeah. I was so backwards and wrong.
Well, it's not that you're backwards and wrong. It was just like an evolution of a hobby, right? Because I mean, for me, it's definitely... like, amiibos is one of them, but like next gen consoles, I think like owning the consoles was something that I never really did until this generation. Like, before that, I'll have an Xbox and I'll get a PlayStation when I get around to it. And now this generation's kind of like, okay, I play enough games that I had to explain to my manager why I own all three consoles, and he still didn't understand. And I'm like, no, it's important because I play a lot of games. It's like, yeah, but can't you just get them all in one console? It's like, well, No, maybe. Yeah, it depends on your preference, right? But I think that as a hobby, it's evolved over the last years, and it is shown in the show, right? Just in what games we talk about, like Blizzard's one of them. I don't know if we're gonna get it on the VR bandwagon. I don't think either of us are thinking of buying VR.
No, not even a little. Yeah. Not even a little.
I get my VR by playing with my Amiibos, and it's like, whoa, it's in my face. It's not true.
VR is one of those things where I'm just like, I can't think of a game that I would want to be that immersed in at all. Like, there's no experience that I need to be that in my face. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm thinking of, like, especially not something that is, like, an Until Dawn, or, like, I think I would actually probably piss myself if I played Until Dawn in a VR type situation. Mm-hmm. There's no way that I would want to do, like, a shooter or anything that has anything that jumps out at me, and anything that's maybe immersive, like, maybe I'd want to play Skyrim? I don't know, like, or like a game like that has like really rich graphics and a big environment. But I don't know. I don't know. I can't imagine anything I'd want to play in VR. So I'm really not interested at all. I don't care. It's like, for me, VR is right up there with like 3D or like full body motion control. Like the Kinect was trying to, like, I never played a full body Kinect game either. Like, I just, I have no interest. Like, I am a sit on my ass, push buttons gamer. I don't want to be
you
interacting.
You haven't experienced like full body Kinect gaming until your mother-in-law, future mother-in-law, oh no, mother-in-law at that point, until your mother-in-law brings up the fact that you played dancing games 2 years into the relationship with your significant other, like, and not even with her. Like, I don't know if you remember that.
We got Just Dance 2016 as well.
Oh, there you go.
That is a thing that now exists in my house.
Yeah, and that was another thing too, like another moment that happened within Gamers Inn. Like, I got married, and then you were there at the wedding, and you got to hear all these embarrassing stories, and now you're dating a good friend of mine, and he can tell you a bunch of embarrassing stories. So it's like, it's the perfect content generation for this show, really, when you think about it. I think full body gaming is Just Dance 2016. What possessed you to pick that up?
It wasn't me.
Who was it?
Matt.
Wait, why did he pick it up? I don't understand. Did he want to, like, okay, now you have to dance because I got you this dancing game?
I don't know. Leanne's played it, so I think I think it might have been a more for her than me thing.
I'm sure, you know, I don't, get me wrong, like,
actually, to be honest, Matt got up and did it too, so.
They're fun. They're a lot of fun. Like, if you just kind of, like, let go of people kind of, like, snickering.
I told him, I was like, I might do this when the basement is finished, and it's during the day, blinds, and no one else is around. Maybe.
It's fun, and I...
Definitely not streaming that shit.
No, you don't want to do that. Like, it's one thing to do it in front of the in-laws and your sister-in-laws, but... and kick their ass, mind you. Like, I mop the floor with them in that game. I can dance with a Wiimote in my hand like anybody's been. You really, you don't even have to move. It's with the Wiimote, you just kind of, like...
See, with the Kinect? Oh, yeah. It goes, like, floor to ceiling. You have to do the foot moves.
You have to shake.
Yeah, you have to shake.
Not just your booty, but everything.
Yes.
Like, when that animated character does something, like, you gotta mimic like a bad boy. It's good stuff. Gosh, no. Man. No one's gonna stream dancing. Like...
It's not gonna happen.
Yeah, Jim. Like, that's not, no amount of goals or subs or Patreons, like, no, that's not.
All right, so before we wrap up the episode, I did go back and I picked six of what I thought were kind of the best weird show title names that we had in the last 100. Right. So I want Ryan to try to guess what we were talking about when we coined these okay. titles. So the first one. And they do go in order, so this is like oldest to newest. So that should help you out a little bit. So the first one is Creepy Uncle is Creepy.
I think this one's Gone Home.
Yes, it was Gone Home. Good job.
And I even remember the artwork that we used. I had the Gone Home art, and then I put like Uncle Fester in the art. I think that was probably our best moment.
It was such just an amazing Photoshop job. I couldn't even tell that he wasn't actually in the game.
I think there's a mod that goes in and replaces all the pictures of your uncle in that game with Uncle Fester.
Really?
No, but someone should do that.
You know what? I wouldn't put it past like just PC gamers in general. They mod the shit out of everything.
Yeah, so get Reddit on it.
Probably does exist.
There's got to be a subreddit for Uncle Fester. Yeah. Don't actually.
Don't
go to reddit.com/r/UncleFester. Don't do that.
Speaking of, the next title is Something Does Bad Happen.
I don't know. This sounds like something we would have said while we were trying to explain something that's terrible. I don't know. Something Does Bad Happen. I really don't know.
You don't know? It was Walking Dead.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it was like every time you go around the corner.
Something does bad happen. Make a choice. Do you cut off your own limb or do you do something that bad happened? Oh, no.
All right. Next one is Day One Jankiness.
That's Assassin's Creed Unity, isn't it?
It absolutely is.
Which that All one right. was day, that was month one. Year one.
All right. So this one has been a phrase that we have used many, 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 many times since we first coined it. So you have to pick the episode that we named this. It's super Japanese.
I feel like we should have got more emails on this one. Which I don't know if that, like, that's just everybody agreeing with me.
It's kind of like it's a game and an animation style. Like, it's super Boobs. Japanese.
Yeah. I think this is Hyrule Warriors.
Oh my god, it was. I was like, we've used this so many times. There's no way he remembers the original game that he called Super Japanese.
That was like the first Super Japanese game I played. And man, it's super Japanese. Like, there's like flipping and like peace signs and like eye twinkles and big swords and big wands. Just generally everything's oversized, really, when you think about it. I can't think. I think it was like right after I got back from my wedding, because I remember that was the first game I played. I'm a married man. Let's go play Hyrule Warriors.
All right. I got the goop in my boots.
God. Is it StarCraft? No.
Close. It was a Blizzard title.
Oh. Shoot. Is it Warlords of Draenor?
Nope.
Oh man. Reaper of Souls. Let's go down the list.
Nope.
Heart of the Swarm.
It was Heroes, actually, because I was playing Zagara from
Heart
of the Swarm. Yeah. And I was getting my creep everywhere. And you were playing Murden. And I actually went back and listened to it to make sure that that's what we were talking about. Mm. And you tried to do the worst ever Murden impression ever of life. To say I got the goop in my boots.
I can't remember. He's like a dwarf, right? So
I got
no, that's Jim Raynor. I got the goops in my boots. I don't know. I can't do it.
No, that's terrible. Yeah. Terrible. And then the last one is terrible time to take a photo.
This is definitely Life is Strange.
It was totally Life is Strange. Yeah. I found that in the last like 50 episodes or so, because most of these came from not 2015 but from 2014. We started just naming stuff like whatever the game is that we were talking about. Like they were really, really tame titles in 2015. So we gotta step it up in 2016, man. We gotta think of some really crazy off the wall titles again, except nothing with porn in it.
Yeah, that was a mistake. Although, man, I think it's the reason we've really blossomed as a show, because we've just got so many Google hits from episode, must have been like 60 something.
No, it was, I think, episode 56.
Yeah, that's when the show started to take off.
Yeah, because I would see, like, in our Google stats, it would say, like, episode 56 porno, and I was like, what is it? Because our episode name was Porno Mad Libs, which it was hilarious in the context of the episode, but probably shouldn't have been what we called our episode. So so that episode, number 56, I remember thinking, like, okay, I know that there's, like, the rule of the internet that, like, there is a kind of porn for every interest. But what the hell is episode 56? Like, why are people Googling episode 56 porno? It confused the hell out of me.
Yeah.
I don't even know. I still don't know.
I don't know. I don't even know where it came from. I think it was, like, We were talking about, I don't even remember. It was something to do with Mad Libs, I think. But I think I realized the issue we've had this last year and why all of our names of shows have been sort of, they're more punny. They're like all dad jokes. And I think it's just me like getting in the mindset. Like, look at this one from just a couple weeks ago. Do the KOTOR. Island of Animatronic Rejects was just me trying not to fall into the porno Mad Libs, because I think that we were talking about DOA boobs and how they kind of move weirdly. I did this.
I couldn't even remember. Right. Yeah.
Or maybe I was playing that episode, Soma.
That episode, I did a lot of boob physics demonstrations.
Yeah. I think it was like, well, for our topic, we'll just do a grab bag. And that was what you pulled out of the grab bag. Yeah, a lot of these are all puns, and I, you know, Life is a Giant Tornado, Beginner's Guide to Remasters, Touching Titans. That's actually pretty good. I don't know. Maybe next year.
Yeah, we need to step up our name game, that's all.
It's just we haven't been as silly. We're all mature and shit. It's a problem,
we
really.
We grew up or something.
Yeah, 4 years is a long time. Maybe next year.
All right, so that pretty much brings us to the end of our show. We wanted to thank our wonderful patrons. We have game night coming up this Thursday at 8 p.m. Eastern. So check it out. There's a post over on our Patreon page where you guys can tell us what you want to play. So really just anything cool, multiplayer, fun. I know Rocket League is always up for grabs. Heroes, Smite, just kind of all over the place. Whatever you guys want to play, let us know. Patreon.com/thegamersin. Thank you everyone for supporting us over there. You let us do a whole bunch of cool things. Mm-hmm. So we got an iTunes review actually this week from Saskper 2011.
Yeah, I think it's Saskper. Really, really cold in Saskatoon. So,
That makes sense. He or she says, great show. Keep it up. If you're new to podcasts like myself, this is one you need to listen to for sure. Everything from video games to good old D&D. So give this a sub. So thank you very much for leaving iTunes review. Obviously, iTunes reviews really help out the show. If you'd like to visit us on the web, you can do so at gamersinpodcast.com. You can also find us on Amove TV along with other fabulous podcasts, including The Angry Nerd, Into the Nexus, Overwatchers, and The Angry Chicken. You can follow us on Twitter. You can find me, Jocelyn, at JossPlays. You can find Ryan at RMurphy, and don't forget to follow the show at The Gamers Inn. The video versions of all our episodes can be found on our YouTube channel, which is youtube.com/AMoveTV. You can also find the show on Facebook and Google+. If you'd like to email the show and let us know what you're playing, you can do so at info@gamersandpodcast.com. So thanks for staying at The Gamers Inn, and remember, tune in next week. Yay. Bye, guys. Thank you for being here for episode 200. We love you.
Bye.
I didn't think it's Eric. Yes, Kate, dude, please. You're on the top now.